Today's program was brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond.
And I'm Claudia Wu. We're the founders of Cherry Bomb Magazine. This season on Radio Cherry Bomb, we're thrilled to share recordings from the Cherry Bomb Jubilee. It took place Sunday, March 29th, 2015, in Manhattan.
This was the second annual Jubilee, which is a one-day conference with some of the most amazing, inspiring women in and around the world of food. This next segment is some special bonus content from Cherry Bomb Jubilee. Erin Fairbanks, the executive director of the Heritage Radio Network, went around and talked to people about their thoughts on the day.
Enjoy their conversations, and thanks for listening to this special episode of Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi, I'm Sarah Brito. I'm the executive director of Chefs Collaborative, which is a national nonprofit network of chefs across the country who all care about how they source, cook, and serve food.
Why was it important for you to come to the conference today?
This is my second year at Cherry Bomb. I was here for the launch of it last year, and it's always exciting to be at an event that's about bringing women together to support other women. You know, they always say that behind every successful man is a woman, and I think that this is about bringing women together to be behind and support other women.
So, you know, at the helm of Chefs Collaborative, an organization that's speaking directly to chefs, do you feel like there are specific messages that you want to, like, take back to female chefs in particular? Do you kind of, like, break down the messaging and the work you do like that at all, or not really?
I think that it was great to see some of our chef members featured in the morning session, especially Thomas Keller and Danny Meyer by video. I think my message would be to have even more of Chefs Collaborative's women member voices featured as part of this really important discussion about the leading role that women are playing as change makers in the world of food.
Do you have like a girl crush on any particular chef you want to shout out? Anyone that you're like, oh man, I'm just so in love with her?
Well, I just came from lunch with one of my board members and Chefs Collaborative member, Andrea Rusine, who I was, we thought we might see each other here, and then we did. And so I have to say that I definitely have a girl crush on one of my board members. Andrea is an amazing chef, amazing restaurant Lantern in North Carolina, and just a super important and integral part of Chefs Collaborative going forward.
I'm Karen Kelly. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer from Sweetgreen. I was included in this fantastic event, one, primarily because I work for a concept that is so committed to making the way we eat and live better. So it's exciting to be with a bunch of like-minded people. And then two, I had the unique pleasure of being able to speak to the group about what it means to authentically lead people. So it's kind of a double whammy. And really exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. So is that a topic that you do a lot of speaking on, or was it something specific for the group today?
That was something specific for the group today. I would have to say it's at the core of my belief system, and that's why I said I was so lucky when I could find an organization that, you know, shared the same values and beliefs. And it's really important that I show up to work every day and do the things I talked about, but I don't know that I speak about it as much as I actually think about it and spend time rethinking about it and making sure I'm better at it all the time, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like one of those things, like the work of leadership and like learning how to be a leader. I feel like there's this idea that some people just have it and others don't, but really I feel like in my experience it's like it's a practice. Was there something that do you feel, looking out at a group of specifically women, or do you think there's things that women need to hear as leaders more than a co-ed crowd might need to?
By the way, I completely agree with you that it's not something you're born with, that everybody has innate leadership skills, and it's just about how you grow and cultivate those things. But anyway, some things that women need to hear. Yes, I think there's a couple things women need to hear. One is it's super important you trust your instincts and your inner voice. I think as women, we have fantastic instincts. We tend to think with both sides of our brains. And I think because of that, our instincts can be very loud and clear and guide us in the right direction. And it's only when we choose not to listen to those things or hold ourselves back that we make mistakes. Do you know what I mean? And even if you do make a mistake, mistake's just a lesson learned on the journey, right? I also think as women, we really have to be comfortable, setting ourselves up to really lean in and really not worry about being women in business, but really worry about making a difference. And I think it's two different headsets. And I think when you show up and think about making a difference and making an impact on the companies and the business you're interacting with, then you just show up different. And I think as females, we're hardwired to do that.
One of the things that is like always a challenge for me is like I can understand running like one place, like in one town, but this idea of like scaling up when you're the leader of an organization that has not just a reach around a city or even a region, but like a national or even an international scope. I mean, are the problems different when you're looking at things from a national perspective? Is the skill set different, or is it just like, you're kind of looking at a different window?
I think probably there's a little bit of both, if I were to answer that question honestly. I think, as you go global, certainly there's different skill sets that you need to develop and conquer as you build. And I think as you go national, there's different skill sets in terms of just understanding markets and the consumer and the headspace, because even domestically, the Southeast is very different than the Midwest, and the Midwest is very different than the West Coast. And so I think there's different skill sets and different ways to think about business. But I also fundamentally believe that you just lead through the lens of making an impact with others and authentic, and that you serve others and you will grow leaders. Right, I think at scale, it's just all about being able to replicate what you do, right? And being able to have people that have similar beliefs and a similar voice. And the only way to do that is to develop people and empower them and challenge them to grow and choose the right talent that replicate that voice and that leadership. So I think that's what becomes a bigger challenge, right?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Jordan Lexton. I'm the founder of Drive Change, a food truck social enterprise that hires and empowers young people coming home from jail and prison. I'm here at the conference today because I'm actually fortunate enough to be speaking on one of the panels. It's called How to Change the World One Bite at a Time. I'm really excited to be here. I think it's going to be a great day.
Awesome. And who is with you here?
This is the one and only biggest fan of Drive Change, my mom. Pretty much the reason that it exists. So she's here with me today to be a part of this whole event.
Awesome. Cheryl, how did Jordan get into the food space? Do you feel like you were giving her a little kick in the booty there?
I guess she will say that it was my enjoyment and love of cooking. I think she gives me a little bit more credit than I deserve, but I think that we do enjoy a shared meal and cooking together. And I guess, and growing up in New York and being inspired by the food around you and, really always enjoying to just try everything and anything.
So how does it feel to have a daughter who's literally shaping world events? I know Jordan is on the expo committee and leading that charge. It must be kind of prouds, having some prouds.
There are moments where you're just taken aback. I'm involved in this on such a day-to-day basis, and then every once in a while something is presented and you think, wow, this is incredible. This is my kid. But Jordan likes challenges, and the bigger, the better.
So obviously a star-packed lineup today. Who are you guys excited to see? You have any like girl crush moments happening?
Too many. it's really a packed house. I mean, I'm a really big fan of Carrie Diamond. I think that this is the reason that we're, you know, this kind of event, this kind of production. They do a remarkable job, and it's done with really like foundationally with human relationships, and I really think that that is what makes this event different than a lot of other events that are out there. So I'm excited to see Carrie. I'm excited to see excited for the people that I'm actually on the panel with too. That's amazing also. So I'm pretty thrilled overall.
Cheryl, how about you?
You know, just to see the lineup as it is, I guess I'm very intrigued by Lauren Bush Lauren and the kind of work that she's doing. I didn't know too much about it until I saw her name, and I'm really excited to learn more. You know, it's going to be exciting to see Jordan on the panel. And, of course, I mean, you know, Barefoot Contessa, and, you know, how can not be a winning day?
My name is Caroline Randall Williams, and I am the author of a healthy soul food cookbook, Soul Food Love, that I wrote with my mom. It's a memoir and also recipes, 100 years of cooking in a black family. It's 4 generations of black women. 3 generations wound up being over 200 pounds in my family, and then I am the first generation not to be. So that's a really important part of my mission, is to feed people well and you keep the soul food tradition of like nourishing your family and body and spirit alive, but in a way that keeps us healthy too.
One of the things you said on the panel that I thought was one of the more interesting for me was talking about the non-celebration meals.
Yeah.
So when people think of soul food, I feel like especially when New Yorkers think of soul food, our like landscape is pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
What else should we be thinking about?
Well, my family, we like to joke that fried chicken is the bad boyfriend. It's like so good, you have to kick it out of the house. You know, like roasting a chicken. I have a spicy pepper chicken where you crisp up the skin really well by sort of changing the temperature and like getting really under there with all of the moisture and all of the delicious things. And that is a good boyfriend that you can keep. And like roasting a chicken, things that take longer are actually truer to the old school soul mission. You know, soul food comes from, you know, the working classes, like especially the black people of the American South. And like, nobody had time to stand over a skillet and fry chicken all day, let alone they didn't have the extra flour. They couldn't afford it. It wasn't, you know, this is what they were cooking for white people they worked for, you know, like, so my grandfather, for example, grew up on a sharecropping farm in Selma, Alabama. His favorite food was baked red snapper, right? That is old school soul food to me.
Awesome. So, anything come up in the panel that was a surprise to you? That you returned to one of your panelists, and you're like, "Hey, what?"
I don't think that there was anything that was such a surprise. It's interesting to me to see. What's a surprise was the spread in perspective underscored. You know, I live in Mississippi, and it just sort of underscored to me like how far some parts of this country have to go, especially with the food deserts. You know, there were ingredients that some of the girls were talking about that I've had access to growing up in Nashville and, you know, with my mother being a successful woman. But, you know, I don't know that I could even tell my students where to buy, say, coconut flour or something. So there's a way in which, you know, that the conversation just stretches so far in both directions, and trying to remember that accessibility is so key to bringing the people that really need, you know, this that really need to get healthy, you know, the people from, you know, at-risk communities of all kinds. Like, we have to figure out how to make the conversation reach to them in a way that makes sense.
Well, on the same note, I feel like, you know, city folk and country folk, or Mississippi folk and New York City folk, we have, like, assumptions about each other.
Yeah.
What do you think that, like, what do you think people are getting kind of, like, right or wrong about Mississippi?
Well, I think that one of the things that people get right is that, you know, the soul and the darkness and the hardness is all really there, but it's what built, you know, for example, blues music or Faulkner's writing. I mean, people are right that it's hard and, like, mysterious, but we have to remember that that is what has generated some of the most, like, beautiful art in America, some of the most, like, you know, radiant spirits in this country. I think that's one of the most important things.
And this might be a little too far off subject, but I feel like the political climate for women, in particular with regards to like access to choice, with regards to birth control in Mississippi, is pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like wondering if those, like as a female leader in your community, like how are things for women in Mississippi? Like how does that come up in your work, or how does that like overlap happen in the work that you're doing?
God, that's a really fascinating question. I think one of the most dynamic ways it comes up for me is, you know, on the one side, we do have this very conservative, you know, seeking to limit women's, you know, decision-making about their bodies. But on the other side, at sort of the micro level, like in the small communities, like where I was teaching when I did TFA and stuff, you know, Black communities are primarily matriarchal ones. So I saw a lot of, like, women, like female empowerment, which maybe speaks to the fact that the government has so little to do with what goes on for the Black people in those parts of the world, where it's like, you know, we don't feel this, you know, the hand of the man, because the man isn't even there, you know, and he should be to help, but he shouldn't be doing, we don't want him until he can reform his perspective. But there is a way in which it's kind of amazing that it's like these, you know, strong women that are running everything, you know, in the communities where I was teaching and feeding myself. And
when you connected with the Cherry Bomb team about coming up for the Jubilee, what were you like most excited about?
That they asked me. They found me, and I think what I was most excited about, because I've sort of come to this backward, like, you know, the other women on my panel have these incredibly, you know, accomplished and intimidating social media backgrounds, and cookbooks sprang from those things, and I sort of feel like I've done it all backward, because I wrote a book, and now I'm sort of trying to spread the word of it, and so I think that the opportunity to come here, which is, like, wildly humbling. You can say that. Can you say wildly humbling?
You can totally say
it was
that.
Wildly humbling. And the idea that I'm these like-minded human beings who are so brilliant, interesting, and dialed in are going to like listen and help me spread this message of accessibility to health is so crucial.
I got your book. We got your book delivered to our office on Friday.
Yay! Oh, I love that. Good, 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 good.
What's the last question? Do you have a joke that you want to share with us?
Ask me what my cookbook's about.
What's your cookbook about?
Healthy soul food. But it's a thing.
I'm Michelle Maha, and together with Julian, my husband, we founded Culture City, which is a nonprofit that is geared towards helping children with special needs and their families. So we provide direct and tangible help to them, either in the form of scholarships or education or iPads and so forth.
Awesome. So how did you end up at Cherry Bomb?
So Cherry Bomb is Erin Fairbanks' wonderful suggestion. We love her, and we love the Heritage Network. No, but seriously, honestly, you know, there's such a huge connection between food and the special needs community. You know, our aim has always been to, first of all, to provide the basic need, which is just to have food on the table. And then beyond that is, you know, helping educate this family in terms of what kind of food to put on the table. Because I think there is definitely, and we see with our son, you know, our 7-year-old son who is nonverbal, there is definitely a correlation between what he eats and his behavior and how well he can learn and how well he can focus. I mean, if somebody sneaks him a, we always joke about this, I know when somebody snuck in, or when he, you know, took a candy bar or, you know, something that's processed and has high sugar content in it. I mean, you can tell with his behavior. So,
was it interesting for you to hear from Danielle Walker and her work? Did that
yes.
resonate?
Yes, very much so. I mean, every single thing that she said, in fact, as she was speaking, I went immediately to her blog and I was like, who is this lady? I need to check her out. But no, absolutely. Everything that she said was so true. There is, it's amazing what good food can do for the child and for the family. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on at Culture City? What new projects or new things can we look forward to, or should we be paying attention?
I think, you know, we have our gala coming up August 14th, so that's exciting. That's our second year anniversary gala. But we have lots of new programs that's in play. One of the things that we're actually really working towards is, on one hand, educating the kids, educating the community about the importance of food for special needs kids and their families. But at the same time, we're trying to figure out where our position is in this space and trying to create something for these kids as they grow older. You know, like Abram is 7 now. He loves being outside. He loves playing with, he loves watering. He loves putting things in the ground. And so we're trying to figure out how best can you capture the skills and make it into something that is functional and he can work with, when he's 25. He may not be a mathematician or he may not be a physician like us, but maybe he'll be the best farmer, So we're trying to figure all that out and trying to think about not just the moment, but think about the future for these kids and their families.
That makes a lot of sense.
Hi, I'm Ellie Truesdell. I'm the Northeast Regional Local Forager for Whole Foods Market, and I'm standing in the Highline Hotel right now, part of the Cherry Bomb Jubilee. Very excited to be here.
Awesome. What is it about Cherry Bomb that you find, most exciting?
Cherry Bomb is really exciting for so many reasons, so it's hard to choose just one. I'm trying to think. I think the fact that they're really precise and thoughtful about who they interview and their content and what they're after. Certainly they're focused on women and food. That's one angle, and that's their main goal. But I think that they've been really thoughtful about who they invite to these events and who they're featuring in their magazine, and I love that.
Yeah, so you in a lot of ways are in that same kind of curatorial space in your work. So can you share with us maybe one or two women producers that you're excited about right now?
Absolutely. So the fun thing about this event is I was asked to curate the snack time portion of the event, and it was really interesting and cool for me to be thinking about the number of female-driven food businesses that we buy from. So in doing that exercise and kind of poring over all of the bakers, all of the artisans, all of the food manufacturers that we work with, I realized we had a ton to choose from, but some of my absolute favorite are Homa Deshtaki of the White Mustache. She makes these incredible Greek yogurts, but she's also now making these whey drinks that are kind of both of our pet projects together. We really want to get people starting to use whey and drinking whey because it's, this byproduct of yogurt that we want to find a home for. And the other supplier that I think is really incredible is Jessamine Rodriguez at Hot Bread Kitchen. She's certainly someone people mention all the time just because, not only because of her bakery and the breads that they're producing, but also because of her social enterprise that's very much coupled with Hot Bread Kitchen as a business, and I think she's incredible.
I love Jessamine. So obviously jam-packed list of speakers and lots of exciting ladies here. Any kind of girl crush-worthy moments? Who are you excited to see?
I cannot even tell you how excited I am to be on the lineup with Ina Garten. She's literally she's just been my favorite for so long. There's a warmth about her. There's an approachability. There's a simplicity to her work. And she's the reason from 10 or 12 years ago that I started getting really interested in food and sourcing and ingredients, really. And she really put value to that. So I'm very excited she's here.
Cool. Any other kind of upcoming projects that you're working on that you want to give us a sneak peek at?
Oh, gosh. We're opening a lot of new stores. Whole Foods Market is opening 15 new stores in the next few years in our region in the Northeast. And so I'm focused a lot on opening our Williamsburg store, our Harlem store, and our Newark, New Jersey store. So those are big projects and a lot of opportunity with sourcing and new producers.
I'm Debbie Freundlich. I'm the editor of Restaurant Briefing, the American Express Restaurant Business Newsletter, and this is my second year, and I think last year was spectacular, so I'm looking forward to another great year.
Awesome. So American Express is one of the sponsors.
Right.
Thank you. Obviously, a really full lineup. Who are you kind of excited about? Who's your kind of girl crushes on the lineup?
Boy, that's so hard to say. I mean, I think some of them are new to me this year, which will be great, and I'm looking forward to finding some new ones.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Highlights from last year for folks who weren't able to come?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think the... there were so many great ones. There were some wonderful... Dorothy Hamilton, I loved hearing some of the old guard a little bit.
Yeah.
As well as the new guard. And It was great to have some of the California women there as well.
Where are you based?
New York.
You're based out of New York. Awesome. So why is the Cherry Bomb Jubilee like the right event for American Express?
Because I think American Express supports the restaurant industry, particularly, and ancillary issues in the food world, so from gourmet shops and all around, and they have great marketing support, great understanding of the industry, and they've been supporting the newsletter I write for Amex has been published by Amex for 40 years.
Wow. So what kind of stuff is in the newsletter?
It's all about the restaurant industry from the point of view of the owners. So I interview restaurateurs around the country about what's working for them. There's a little column about American Express, about something they support, but it's all about the business of the business and mostly independents.
Oh, wow. So what are you, it's like such an interesting spot that you get to sit in. I mean, are you seeing anything like new or trends or things that are coming up lately? Like what's the kind of buzz?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big trend, which is not very, it is kind of sexy, but not that sexy, is dealing with food waste. Because this year, for the first time on the National Restaurant Association forecast list, it was managing and reducing food waste was number 9 on the list of 20, and it's never been on that list of trends before. So there's more composting, there's more reducing at the prep end, and really being watchful, because the restaurant industry tends to be so wasteful just by nature of the business.
How do people get a copy of the newsletter?
It's online. It's going through the Knowledge Center, americanexpress.knowledgecenter.com.
Awesome.
And they can see articles there.
Cool.
My name is Bettina Stern, and I'm here with Ariel Pasternak, and I have a company in Washington, D.C. called Chaya, and we make seasonal vegetable tacos, and we're opening up our first brick and mortar in the neighborhood of Georgetown, which is a beautiful old neighborhood in D.C. Originally from New York, so glad to be home. And Ariel encouraged us to come last year, and it was just an incredible event from the very, moment you walk in and are presented with all these amazing options. And then to be inspired by these incredible women up on the stage. I'm excited this year. I have a total girl crush on April Bloomfield. I think she is just adorable and so nice and so humble, and my former boss Ina Garten is here, so I'm really excited about that. I used to work with her when I was a teenager, so I love seeing her whenever I can. But
yeah, how about you, Ariel? The lineup is exciting for you?
I'm always a fan of Lauren Bush. I think the way she combines philanthropy with a cause and a business, the social entrepreneurship angle is great, and I've always been a fan. But it's even like the food here, where it gets you in the mood to listen and discuss, and I think it's a supportive community, and we've made so many great contacts from last year, and we're excited to see what's in store for this year.
Yeah, maybe since you guys are kind of like repeat attendees, can you tell me a little bit about kind of post Cherry Bomb Conference or Jubilee last year? Like, what were things that changed for you after, or like new relationships made, or things that kind of happened as a result of your time here?
Yeah, for me specifically, I'm 24, and I was inspired by all the women on the stage, but most women, were 30 and up, which is great, and I met a lot of other 20-somethings, and so we put together a dinner series called Pineapple, where every month we tried to get together with a different theme. It was a potluck, and continue the conversation and supporting each other in our various fields, whether that was, front of house, back of house, PR, branding, you name it, and that was one big takeaway for me personally.
That's awesome.
Ariel and I were talking on the drive up yesterday, where we were a year ago with the company and where we are today. I think a lot of how we pushed ourselves as far as we did was inspired by this event last year. We had a concept, we'd been testing it, it was very successful, we were getting a lot of press, but we needed to go to the next level, which was moving from a 10 by 10 foot tent in a farmer's market, testing an idea to see if people were going to eat tacos made from vegetables, to honing our business plan, to getting things right, to building our team, to bringing Ariel on as a full-time employee and a junior partner, and kind of making the next leap. And a year later, here we are in a build-out, in an amazing standalone building in a beautiful neighborhood, opening up what we believe is the first woman-owned fast casual model, because we are a replicable model. Like, Sweet Green, which is, I guess, doing lunch today.
For us, yeah.
So another DC crowd of a bunch of boys. unlike Ariel, I'm actually 50. So this for me is sort of realizing something I've always wanted to do is to start my own entrepreneurial venture and in the food business. And it all started really with, again, Ina Garten and my teens. So
It's coming full circle. Well,
it's coming full circle.
Last question, I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit. We're asking everyone if they have a joke that they might like to share.
Which way did the sneeze point?
I don't know. Which way?
At you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Hi, my name is Marion Knowles, and I'm the president and CEO of Off Duty Chef, which is an e-commerce marketplace. And so I'm a career changer. So this event is really wonderful for bringing people together who have an interest in food and in chefs and in promoting women in career transition. And I think it's just an amazing group of people.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about your business. What exactly do you do?
The concept is to allow chefs to have, who have time, right? Chefs don't have a career where they spend 20 years working somewhere and get a gold watch at the end of it. So they have free time, they want to be creative, and this is an opportunity. It's like a match.com for chefs and people who want to entertain more at home.
Oh, awesome. So obviously, jam-packed lineup today. Who are your kind of girl crushes on the agenda? Who are you most looking forward to hearing from?
Well, Ina Garten. I think for the past 30 years, she has figuratively been to every dinner party I've ever done. So either through, you know, the food that she's created at Barefoot Contessa in the Hamptons or through her books. So, yeah.
Awesome. And last question. Do you have a joke you might want to share with us?
Okay, this is one you're not going to want to share with anyone. What did the grape say when the elephant stepped on it?
I don't know.
Nothing. It just let out a little whine.
Awesome. Marion, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.